I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Welcome to KC Currents. We use stories and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region. And now we're live, so we can take your calls on some of the big issues in our community. All the talk in Washington this week was about Obamacare, the government shutdown, and the upcoming debt ceiling debate. But in the background of all of that, Congress quietly let the Farm Bill expire. It was due for renewal at the end of last year and extended until Monday, September 30th. So here we are in October with no Farm Bill and some serious divisions about major aspects of the legislation. To understand the impact of the Farm Bill, or the lack thereof, on farmers, the hungry, and everyone else, we turn to our friends at Harvest Public Media. Reporter Jeremy Bernfeld is here in the studio. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Sylvia.
So what exactly is in the Farm Bill?
Well, you know, the Farm Bill, it's a massive bill. It contains about almost $1 trillion in spending.
Wow.
What we refer to as the Farm Bill is really a package of legislation that, on one hand, charts farm policy for farmers. We're talking about crop insurance. We're talking about disaster aid programs. We're talking about research, things that really apply to people out there in the fields. On the other hand, we're talking about food assistance, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which often people refer to it as SNAP, but we also call it food stamps, of course. That makes up about 80% of the bill. So it also contains all that nutrition funding.
80%. That's a huge part of the bill.
It's $80 billion annually or thereabouts.
What are the other big parts of the bill sort of financially besides that, the food stamps?
Well, I think, again, food stamps make up about 80% of the bill. So we're already just talking about 20 to 25%. But there are huge farm programs involved. I mean, crop insurance is a big program. In the current Farm Bill, there's a program called Direct Payments that is basically another kind of farm subsidy. Those are big programs that farmers have been depending on for years.
And I know at Harvest you've been doing a lot of reporting on crop insurance. How exactly does it work? The federal government basically insures farmers if their crops don't work out some years?
It can be a kind of complicated process, but basically what it is there's a group of private insurance companies that run the crop insurance program, but it's heavily subsidized by the federal government, both to those companies that provide the insurance as well as to the premiums that farmers pay.
So is there anything that just stopped on October 1st when the bill expired?
You know, the October 1st expiration date doesn't mean all that much. And I think that's one reason why, as you said, it was kind of quietly let go. There are a bunch of programs. So most of the programs continue through the crop year. So crops that are already in the ground or crops that are about to go in the ground will continue. So come spring planting time, then we'll be talking about a different group of effects. So a lot of it will extend through that. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, those food stamps program, that's authorized through some stimulus spending from 2009 to go for another 6 months to a year, excuse me. So that's going to continue. The big issue is come January 1st, we're going to revert to the farm policy that's already on the books. And that farm policy was actually created in 1949. So a very different United States, a very different food system at that point. And since then, we've just been kind of updating it with these farm bills every 5 years. So that's going to kick in, and that's going to cause a bunch of different things to happen, including very likely that milk prices, dairy prices would double. So that's going to be when you're going to first start to see the effect as far as the farm part goes.
And people were worried about that last year and calling it the dairy cliff. But why exactly might milk prices double?
Well, really, it's that 1949 law that guarantees a price for dairy farmers. There were different goals in farm policy in 1949. It was a very different United States and, as I said, a very different food system. So that law would basically kick in and it would ensure that dairy farmers get a price that's at about double what they're getting right now.
Now, what are the major points of contention in the Farm Bill?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of agreement, actually, on the farm part of the Farm Bill. The major disagreements are really coming in the SNAP benefits, in the food stamps. The Senate passed its version of the Farm Bill in June, and in it, there were cuts to the food stamp program. There were about $400 million annually. So that's $4 billion over 10 years. Again, we're talking about an $80 billion program. The House side, the part of the Farm Bill that deals with the nutrition policy from the House that they passed, that cuts $4 billion annually, so 10 times what the Senate cut. That's where the big disagreement is.
And what would be – and then there was the idea of actually just separating SNAP from the Farm Bill altogether. Was that in the House bill?
Yeah, that's right. The House ended up – so historically, there's been this kind of coalition of putting the farm programs together with the nutrition programs. And the reason that that existed was to basically to get support from urban areas and legislators from urban areas for farm programs. So there's been this historic coalition that's ever since Bob Dole got it rolling decades ago. And so the House basically split that. There, as I said, there's large agreement over the farm issue, so that kind of passed easily. And they're trying to really take aim at the House Republicans generally are trying to take aim at the nutrition program. So they split it. That's probably not going to be the end result. There's kind of been a wide outcry that those two areas were split and that this historical coalition was broken.
So if most programs didn't just stop when the bill expired, how does the lack of a farm bill make a difference to farmers?
Well, you know, farmers are always thinking 6 months to a year ahead. I mean, this is a business that relies on planning, and they cannot plan. I mean, from a farmer's perspective, they're making decisions right now. They're going to make or break their business, and they don't know how the federal government is going to help or hurt their business come 6 months to a year. So that's a big issue. They're making planting decisions. They're making decisions on what materials to buy and how they're going to run their farm. So that's a big issue. Also, all this uncertainty, as you said, the farm bill initially expired last year at this time. And in that run up to the dairy cliff, they kind of passed an extension of most of the programs. But that already cut out a lot of different programs, including assistance for beginning farmers and ranchers, including assistance to organic farmers, things like that. So those programs are in flux, and they, in fact, they haven't been funded for the last 9 months. So now folks who are interested in those programs are having difficulty getting into the business.
And are there particular areas of concern for farmers in our region?
Well, I think, again, there's wide agreement on crop insurance, and that's very important to farmers in the Midwest. But I think farmers really need to see what the policy is going to look like in specifics if they're going to make those planning decisions for planting. And as I said, the dairy farmers, they've lost their livestock assistance. So were there to be, you know, another widespread drought or an issue like that, they wouldn't be able to apply for livestock assistance because there's no farm bill. So they're watching that pretty closely.
Do you have a sense of what farmers feel about SNAP benefits being part of the farm bill? And just from people you've talked to and that other reporters at Harvest have talked to?
You know, I think it does keep changing. I think in general, most farmers that we talk to kind of appreciate, as I said, that coalition that really makes people care more about the farm part of the farm bill. But as it continues to delay the farm issues, I think farmers are certainly getting frustrated. And I think some are questioning, well, you know, if we've got agreement on the farm programs that matter to me, can we just get that through?
And what about our local legislators in Missouri and Kansas? What are they responding to farmers? I mean, it's a pretty serious lobby, a pretty serious voting block in Missouri and Kansas.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think you see press conferences, tweets, emails, all of those things almost daily from many of the legislators in Kansas and Missouri talking about the farm bill and the lack thereof. I think, as you said, it's been overshadowed by the big issues in Congress right now, you know, between the shutdown, the debt ceiling, Obamacare, immigration, those kinds of things. So, you know, without a big issues stemming from the expiration on October 1st, I think it has been a little bit on the back burner, even if there is some, you know, political wrangling going on.
So, Jeremy, you follow this pretty closely. What does your crystal ball say about what's going to happen?
Well, I think this dairy cliff and the reversion to the 1949 law on January 1st would be a huge, huge mistake and a big issue. So I can't imagine that they're going to let it go further than that. I mean, we've had Senate negotiators say that they're not interested in another extension. But honestly, if I had to make a guess, I would say that there would be another extension past New Year's Eve, just like last year.
And no kind of final version of the farm bill then.
I would imagine the uncertainty will continue.
And what are they going to go into a conference committee then?
Yeah, the Senate. So what has to happen is the Senate and the House go to a conference committee to merge the differences between the bills that they've passed, because both chambers have passed a bill. Now, the Senate has appointed its conferees, the people who are going to be charged with negotiating with the House. The House has yet to do that. And again, in large part because John Boehner is the one who has to make those appointments. And John Boehner has been a little busy recently.
And you've been following this on your website there at harvestpublicmedia.org. People want a lot more about the farm bill and what's going on and how it's impacting local farmers. They can go there. Jeremy Bernfeld, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Sylvia.
Jeremy Bernfeld is a reporter for Harvest Public Media, an agricultural reporting service based here at KCUR.